mitzvah about tasha is presented in a very unique way. Ordinarily, all the mitzvahs, derech klal, are very straightforward. The Torah tells us what the mitzvah is, the rules, the regulations, b'chulu. The mitzvah about tashlis, the way it's presented, is like a klachayad. It's not presented the way a regular mitzvah is presented. Torah is talking about a war. Let's take a step back. What does the halacha about tashlis include? It includes halacha lemaisa, not you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Number two, you're not allowed to cut down a branch of a fruit-bearing tree. And then, by extension, you're not allowed to destroy or put to waste anything that is good. Food. You have good food. So you're not allowed, it is also for a person to take good quality food and throw it in the garbage. It's awesome. What are you supposed to do with it? Give it away. Find a person or find someone, if there are people out there in the world that can use the food, it's mamish osur to take food that has value, that someone can benefit from, mm-hmm. and just throw it in the garbage. You have to go and put it to use. Let's say you can't find anyone that can make use of it. Let's say you have good food. Are you allowed to directly destroy it? Can you go and burn it? Are you allowed to throw it in the garbage? It's not so simple. It's not so similar to a person. Part of the rules about tashlis, you have something that has value. Let's say you have good leftover food, and no one's going to eat it. For you to take it and to throw it, to openly destroy it, according to some opinions, is an iser dirabonon of baal tashlis. What should you do with it in that situation? You just do nothing. Let it sit and let it decay. Let it reach a point where it's no longer fresh, it's no longer edible, and then you can throw it in the garbage. But to take something that is good and to directly destroy it, that is forbidden. Give it away to someone that can use it, and if you cannot find the person that can use it at this point in time, you're still not allowed to take it. Listen, no one's going to eat this food. Person makes a simcha, make a bris, we make a susuda Shabbos. Shabbos is over, and I have here containers of food that I purchased, I have no use for. I bought some extra coleslaw, I bought some extra this, and it's not going to keep, and I'm going away to vacation, Eretz Yisrael, and it's not going to last, I can't keep it over here. So what should I do with it? Give it away. I have no one to give it to, so I'll just throw it in the garbage. You can't. That is called baal tashlis. So what should I do with it? If worse, push comes up, can you just leave it in the refrigerator until you come back next week? And the next week, when you'll come back, then you'll throw it out. Is there a concern that it's going to decay and it's going to smell? If then, that's already a different story. If the situation is such where there's going to be a problem, where it's going to smell, it's going to decay, it's going to be a health issue, then in a hanami, then you're allowed to go, you're allowed to throw it out. But if you have in your possession something that is of good quality and you have no one to give it to, you're not allowed to take something that is good and destroy it. What you do is nothing. Just let it sit where it is and let it its date expire. And then after it expires, the date expires, then you can throw it in the garbage. Unless, of course, it's a danger. If it's a danger, it's a hazard. By leaving it here for a prolonged period of time, it's going to go and cause bacteria. That already is a different story. Yeah, Mayor?
The date really is meaningless.
The date is what?
The date of expiration is a meaningless date.
Why is it meaningless? They don't put it there for nothing.
What they do is they put together a committee, and the committee looks at it, and they smell it, and they taste it, and they make it a guess. The customer, 30% of the customers would not like it if it was this way. It's not based on any...
Milk. They put an expiration date on milk.
It's dated 2 weeks. That's all.
Yeah, so ain't a chanami. Well, that's because of refrigeration. There are many, many factors. It's an average. If you have milk, you leave it outside, you don't put it in the refrigerator, so then it's going to expire much...
So if you go to a store that gets a delivery 5 in the morning, the guy leaves the milk outside...
Exactly, right.
So you don't know,
but let's say everything is done kedasu chadin, then the expiration date is correct, is accurate.
And if you guess the expiration date,
Okay, but generally speaking, in society, everything has guidelines. Has
an expiration date on soda?
They do. Yes. 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 Everything has an expiration date.
And it really means so.
You remember when it started?
20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Okay.
Why
did they start it?
It was the best sell-by date, not to lose.
Oh, that's a different thing. Best sell-by, because that they do not to lose money.
Merchandising given.
I think one of the things was put in terms.
By the way, a lot of the stores that you have, one big store here, the reason you only sell to a lot of people with the same product,
yeah,
is he's buying short-dated merchandise. And that's why he's cheaper.
All right, now, what's interesting is the Iker prohibition about Tashchis is only to cut down a complete tree. That is the Iker prohibition in the Torah where it says you're not allowed to. Now, what's interesting, it doesn't say you're not allowed to cut it down outright. It only says not to cut it down in the context of a war. What is the story? The story is you're going out to a milchemes. Is it a milchemes mitzvah, milchemes reshus? I don't remember. And what happens? And it says that you're laying siege to a city. L'sashchis es eitzah. Let me just find the pasuk. The way it's presented. Let me just find the pasuk. Where is the pasuk? The Hayom Shavuot. Rak Hanashmenes Elohim Rak Berah Amin. Here it is. Okay, it's the end of the parashah. Shvi. Here, everybody say. Kisatzur El Ir Yamim Rabim Lilochim Alecha L'Safsa. If you're laying siege to a city for many days to seize it, it says Loi Sashchis Es Eitzo. Do not destroy its wood. L'Ndoyach Alav Garzen. To chop and to press against it an axe, ki mimenu sechel, from the fruit you will eat, the oisoyen id lois sechois, do not cut down, ki ha adam eats asode, lovo miponecha ba matzar, is the tree a person? You're trying to kill the people. Okay, you're trying to kill the people, you're not trying to kill, to destroy the trees. The way the Torah presents the Isser Derais of cutting down a fruit tree is within the context of a war. You're laying siege upon a city. But the people know. Exactly. It's extremely bizarre. This whole thing is extremely bizarre. Let's appreciate this halacha. You're coming to lay siege against a city. Why? Obviously, they're wicked people. Obviously, the people in the city are reshoim. They're terrorists. It can't be. The Torah does not allow you to go kill people for no good reason. These are the Canaanim, they're doing Avodah Zarah. Whatever the case is, there is a legitimate reason why the people in this city have to be destroyed. And you're laying siege. It's a very dangerous moment. If you're trying to kill someone, they're going to come, who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what can happen? Kisatzur, if you are laying siege, El Ir, Yomim Rabim, why even does it need to say that? Yomim Rabim. There's a lot of big mysteries in this pasuk. Why does it have to say for many, many days? Even for one day.
Well, you're laying... preventing you from being victorious, and this is what the last... If you do this, you could win the war and get it over.
It doesn't say that.
No, but that's what the implication is.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Why does it have to say Yomim Rabim? Lihilachem Olecha. In other words, first it says you're laying siege. Laying siege is not the same thing as going to war. When you lay siege to a city, you want them to give up. Okay, you don't. A war, laying siege and a war are two very different things. In the vocabulary of war, they're not the same. So first it says you're laying siege. Then it says Yomim Rabim. Why is that relevant? Then it says Lilochem Olecha, to wage war against her. And then it says another term, Lisafsa, to take possession. Is that what you're trying to do? Are you trying to kill the people and go back home? They're terrorists. I don't want the city. This city is a dump. What?
The building, they never say you should stay intact.
Is that the case? So the rules, it could be. There are many different types of wars. There are many different situations. When the Israelis go into Jenin, or they go into one of these terrorist struggles, They have no desire to build anything there. They want to blow up the building, kill all the terrorists, and go home and leave me alone. They have no desire to move in. There are wicked people who live here who are causing us problems. We want to get rid of them. We want to eliminate them. We want to punish them. We want to destroy the building. We'll blow up the building, and that's it. We're gone. Goodbye. We're finished. We're not here to take possession. We're not here for anything. Here, there are many different reasons why you go to battle. Sometimes you go to battle because you want the people to give up and to join your team. You want them to pay taxes. Sometimes you go to war because you want to kill the people. You don't care about the territory. Sometimes we want the territory. Run away. We want to annex this piece of land for ourselves. And all of you people just run away. Go somewhere else. You live in your squatters. You're living on our land. There are many different reasons why a nation goes to war. This pasuk seems a conglomeration of all different reasons which seemingly contradict one another and really don't really fit well with one another. First it says, Kisatsur Elia. You're laying siege. Wait a minute, that's a very vague statement. Why are you laying siege? What's going on over here? Then it says, by the way, the siege is going on a lot longer than expected. Putin thought he would finish with Ukraine in a couple of days. Here he is now, a year and a half later, is going nowhere. Yomim Rabim. Then it says, there is Lihilochem. Battle is not the same as laying siege. Battle, there's blood. They're not sanctions. Today, laying siege probably is the equivalent in the modern world as sanctions. Real sanctions, not make-believe sanctions. Embargo. An embargo, taxes, blockades. It's a whole different type of technique of modern-day siege. War. War is blood. War is death. How many people have died in the battle between Ukraine and Russia until by now, this year and a half? What are the numbers? Numbers go at least 50,000 to 200,000. Dead people. That's not something you want to have on your credit. I remember when Biden said, they asked Biden, a friend, he's a very, very stark Democrat. He loves Biden. There's nothing I can say to him. Nothing I can say to him that would shake his emuna in Biden. And listen, everyone, different strokes for folks. So he says, before the war broke out, they interviewed the president. They said, "What's going to be with Russia?" So Biden says, "They're going to attack. They're going to go to war." And I think many of us were in shock. Wait, are you trying to encourage? It almost sounded like to me that Biden was encouraging them. Yeah, let them go to war. Let them go to war. So this fellow, he says to me, you're going to see what Biden calling his bluff. He's going to go down as the greatest president in the history of America by trying to challenge him to go to war, and that's going to bring a defeat to Russia. It always stuck in my mind how he's told that to me. You're going to see he's going to be it's unbelievable chokhmah. The chokhmah is, exactly. A year and a half later, it's no 200,000 people dead. That's pretty serious stuff. Yeah, go check it out. They hide this in the news. They hide this in the news. 200,000 people dead. For who and for what?
Nothing.
For who and for what? And you're happy to have that? You're happy to have it on your places? So we want to go say, we like to say good for the Ukraine. They killed all the Jews, the Ukrainians and the Russians, the grandchildren of all the Nazis and all the Russians. Who was worse? Were the Russians worse? Were the Ukrainians worse? They were both worse. Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. Listen, we're not God. It's not a good idea to go down that path. This is a dangerous mahalach to go down the path and go talk about good for them. We'll definitely say that. There are definitely Jews who say good for them, what they did to us, what they did to Klal Yisrael. I know I heard it a lot. I'm not so sure this is a good mahalach to go down that path. It's not our business.
Keep it to yourself.
But over here, war is not a pleasant thing. Ki satsur al ir yamim rabim lilochim olecha lissafsa. Then there's one more thing, lissafsa. Lissafsa is to take possession. You would ask me, I would tell you that this is the slippery slope of modern day warfare. First, you have sanctions. Kisatsur alir. We don't like you. We don't like Iran. So you know what?
Sanctions.
No one's allowed to do business. I think it was baloney. No one's allowed to do business. And then what happens? Slippery slope. It doesn't work. You think that after a week or two of the sanctions, they can say, oh, we're sorry. We want to be your best friend. We want to be good to you. We're not going to do anything bad. No. It goes on forever. Yamin Rabin. And then after, it goes on for a year, 2-3 years. Then it gets even more ugly. Then it becomes actual warfare. Lilochim. There's actual combat. And the combat, when you start combat, you never have a hava mina that you're going to send boots on the ground. You'll blow them up from the air. You'll just blow up some buildings, you'll kill some people, you'll scare them. And then what happens? It doesn't work. Then there's talk in government, boots on the ground. We have to invade. We have to send in foot soldiers to get in there and to take over the Kremlin and to who knows, and to actually, Iraq, look what happened with Iraq. We have to get in, we have to move in, send in 300,000 American soldiers into the land itself, to take possession of the land of our enemy territory. This formula that it says over here in the Pasuk is just describing what happens in the world of reality. You have an enemy, and once you start, it's a slippery slope. You first think you're going to start by just having sanctions. You're going to lay siege. You're not going to want to walk away empty-handed if you don't get what you want. And you're going to let it schlep out for years and years and years. And when your dignity is at stake, we just can't walk away with empty-handed. And then it's going to turn into Yamim Rabim. And when the Yamim Rabim doesn't work out, then it's going to get into Milchama. And when the Milchama doesn't work out, then it's going to get into you're going to want to actually take possession of the territory itself.
One more step. Made in Vietnam. Clothes you wear today. Made in Vietnam. It's like amazing.
Okay, that's the irony. So the pasuk goes on to say, Loi sashchis es eitza. Okay, the pasuk goes on to say, Loi sashchis es eitza. And so what would you think? What would you think would be the next pasuk? It would tell you something very, the next words of the pasuk you would expect, they're something very deep, very profound, something about war. And it goes on to tell you a halacha that's totally unrelated, where it says, L'sashchis es eitza. Don't chop down the cherry trees. Don't cut down wood. And it has to elaborate exactly how you're going to cut it down. You're going to cut down lindoyach olav garzen. Garzen is an iron axe. Lindoyach means to chop. Okay, it's a harsh word. Why does it even have to say that? Why does it have to describe the method of leisashchis es eitza? It's very strange. Just say there are trees in the way, or there are other ways to cut down trees. It has to tell you the way you're going to cut down the trees is with lindoyach olav garzen, to take an axe and chop with the axe against the tree. What's going on over here? And why not? Very strange. Ki mimenu soichel. Because why should you destroy something of good quality? Eat it. You might as well let the trees remain so you can eat its fruit. And it repeats it, the oisoi it lo sichrois, don't cut down. And then it says the most bizarre part of this expression, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh, are the trees, you have to read it backwards, are the eitz ha'sodeh an adam? Just read it backwards. The trees are not human beings. Human beings need to be eliminated. Evil human beings need to be cut down. Indeed, they need to be cut down. But not trees. Lovoi mi ponecha, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh, Lovoi mi ponecha v'amotzar. And look what it does over here. It goes all the way back to the beginning of the pasuk. After discussing with the cycle, after discussing the Yamim Rabin, and after discussing the war, and after discussing L'Safsa, It goes back to all of the different elements mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk. It goes back to the first element of the matzar. Is it true that you have to take the trees before you in a siege? But wait a minute, that's not correct. It's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says over here, you're cutting down the trees. You're not taking the trees. You're not besieging the trees. Something doesn't make sense over here. The oyser loisichos, ki ha'adon eitz ha'sadeh, is the eitz ha'sadeh equivalent to an adam that it also has to enter before you in a siege, and that you're going to cut it down. That you have to cut it down with an axe. But wait a minute, I'm cutting down the trees. I'm not bringing the trees into a siege. There's something here that is not settling. What I think what it means here is, I think there's a lot of psychology before we get into the halacha is you would never besiege a forest of trees. Because a forest of trees are not a threat. If you want a tree, what do? You just cut down the tree. You don't have to go through a process of besieging trees. It doesn't make sense. If you need a tree, you cut down the tree. You don't besiege the tree and wait for the tree to give up and to raise the white flag. And then if the tree doesn't raise the white flag, so we're going to wait around for a couple of years, and then we're going to get violent, and then we're going to cut them down. You cut it down right away. You don't do it. Yet the pasuk over here is saying exactly that. Ki ha'adon eitz ha'sadeh lavo mi'chanecha b'matzar. I think what it means to say is, you're acting irrationally by cutting down the trees. And the way we're gonna bring out the irrationality of what you're doing is we're gonna talk in irrational terms. The trees are not a threat to you. You're sitting around here, you're waiting to kill. You're waiting to kill people because the people are rishoyim. So you built up in you a need to exercise violence. You're not able, you need an outlet. So what's your outlet? The trees. Trees are violent. They have a chalamoed getaway. So advertised, when you go to a place, you put on protective gear, and they give you hammers and sledgehammers, and they have inside the room televisions, electronic devices, refrigerators, walls, sheetrock, and you go in there and you destroy everything. Yeah, isn't this amazing? It's not a joke. They advertise this even in the Jewish newspapers. People have a need to destroy. They have a need. They have a pleasure of taking a sledgehammer and smashing a wall. They have a pleasure of taking a sledgehammer and smashing the windshield of a car. It's a sickness. People have a pleasure. I can prove it to you. There are places that you can go on Chol HaMoed. They put and they get from junkyards electronic equipment that looks.
There's a construction. You can even get the word caterpillars and cranes.
It looks like it's good stuff, and you go in and you have the hana of shattering, of destroying things. There's a pleasure.
Just promoting it.
There is a pleasure in doing this, mm-hmm. And it seems that this is a sickness, and they're just making money off people's bad midos. People over here, they're laying siege to a city. What happens when you're laying siege? You think the whole day one thing in your mind. Kill, 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 kill. That's the mentality in the army. They go and it's necessary. You got to see action. I've been trained my entire life how to kill. You're a sniper. You've been trained your entire life how to kill. You can't wait for that day where you build up in your mind this need, this pleasure, and this need to go and to.
It's not a pleasure. You have to do it because the normal response was not. If you going in, let's say you're in an army, you're running, and they're shooting, and the normal response is. And not run into the fire. Let the teacher run. The same with police and firemen. Let the teacher.
Okay, you've been trained to kill. And here you are, you're laying siege to a city, You need an, what is the goal? The goal is to enter into the city and kill all of the wicked people. And it's not happening. And you're frustrated. You need an outlet for your violence. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna let it out on the trees. Take an axe and start cutting the trees. You gotta go put your skills to good use. I remember I was laughing, remember one day on my block during a big snowstorm, all of a sudden I see the fire department on my block. And what are they doing? They're having a snowball, mamash, I'm not joking with you, a snowball fight. Fire department people, in the middle of the winter, the fire truck is parked in a residential block, and the firemen, they're all dressed up in all of their gear, and having a snowball fight. What in the world is going on here? So I go and I look, and I ask, and they say, well, basically, Baruch Hashem, there are no fires, and the fire department, they're very bored. They're very bored in the firehouse. And when they're bored in the firehouse, it's not good for them. So the head of the department decided, we're paying you guys anyway, so go out down every single block and shovel out all the fire hydrants. So just in case there's a fire, we should be able to identify where the fire hydrants are. In case Chas V'Shalom is a fire, right now there's a snowstorm, and it's already 2 days after the snowstorm, and the snow is piled up all over the place, and all the fire hydrants are buried under mounds of snow. So just in case there's a fire, all the fire hydrants should be readily noticeable. So go, we'll send you all out to go shovel out all the fire hydrants. Why? We're anyway paying you. So instead of sitting in the firehouse doing nothing, be productive. Now between me and you, this is the biggest joke, because if there's a fire, don't worry. They know where the fire hydrants are, and they'll get them open in a split second. They'll get them open in a split second. So what are they doing, these people? They basically, it's not good for them to sit around the whole day and do nothing. So they get them to get out of the fire department. So once they're out of the fire department, they start having snowball fights anyway in the street. You have to put some energy to good use. You can't let energy just sit around and do nothing. The energy has to come out to good use. If you have professional soldiers who are laying siege to a city and nothing is happening for Yamim Rabim, and they're very frustrated because they have a need to let out that energy, so what are they going to do? Oh, let's go chop down some trees so we can make some, put up some turbines for windmills, for recyclable electricity. Let's go chop down some trees. The Torah says don't ever do that. Just because, there's a much deeper message over here in this pasuk. Just because there is of energy and you want to destroy, because you're late, it has to be pshat in the pasuk. It's irrational to let out your energy of churban on fruit-bearing trees. And the purpose of you coming to lay siege to this city was not for the goal of destroying trees. How did you get it? How did you come to this matzav of having a need to destroy good fruit-bearing trees? It's because you have this energy that's built up in you to kill, to destroy, and there's no targets to exercise your skills. You came here to destroy an enemy. The enemy locked themselves up in a fortified city. You're laying siege, and it's going on now for Yomim Rabim. Years. You're frustrated. What does that have to tell you that? You're frustrated. And you want to go into battle to kill, to take possession. And here you are, you're sitting around doing nothing. You have to let out the energy. What the solution is, it doesn't tell you what the solution is. Good question. But one thing it does say, don't use this situation. Don't let out this energy, this energy that you have within you to destroy, to bring korban on something that doesn't deserve to be destroyed. You never went out to war to kill the enemy. When you went out to war, when you traveled a long distance to come to this city to destroy and to lay siege, your kavana was not to go destroy the trees. That's not what you came here for. You came here to destroy, to kill the people, because they were showing. And now you're here and you're frustrated and you want to let out that energy. Don't destroy the trees. Don't let out that energy on something which is good. I really believe that this is very true when it came to the First Crusade. In the First Crusade, Pope Urban II, he galvanized the knights and the peasants. There were 60,000 knights. These were bloodthirsty people who had only one desire, to kill. They had this energy built up in them. They only knew how to kill. They only knew how to pillage, to kill, to murder, to cause. That's all they knew how to do. And they had a very big problem there in France. What do we do with these people? There's nothing here to kill. There's nothing here to, there's no wars. We have nothing here to, so let's make a war. Let's make a war for the sake of giving these Meshugayim something to put their energy to.
An outlet.
So you know what? We'll make a war with the Muslims. We anyway don't like them. We're anyway jealous of them. They came out of nowhere. We were first. We had a religion. We made up a religion. We conquered the world. And now these guys are coming to compete with us. So you know what? Perfect. What a wonderful solution. It's a win-win. We have a bunch of Meshugayim here. Bloodthirsty Meshugayim. They have a need to let out their energy on something. So let them go. Get them out of here. Let them go march 3,000 miles and let out their energy on the Muslims. The problem was they met us first. They met us on the way. Oh, an opportunity to let out their energy and kill and destroy. And Rahman al-Islam, we were there. It's the same idea over here in this pasuk. Over here, Kisatsur el-ir yomim rabim li lochem olam. You're laying siege. Why do you have to mention all of these things? To teach me l'sashchis? What's going on over here? There's halacha, don't cut down a fruit tree. There. So let the pasuk say, l'sevashal gedi b'chalev imo, v'l'sashchis eitzu ilan, the end. It's all it needs to say in the Torah. Don't cook meat and milk together. Don't wear shatness. And don't cut down fruit trees. What more do you need? All you need, that's all you need. All of a sudden, we have a parsha, tells you a whole story. Who's interested? You're coming, you're laying siege, El-Ir. Oh wow, interesting. It's a movie. And how long did this go on for? Yomim Rabin. Wow, many days. I thought you'd go to war. Shock and awe. 1, 2, 3. How long does war take? Go ask the President of the United States. How long is a war supposed to take? 5 minutes, right? 1, 2, 3. And what do you do in the war? L'ilachem olecha. To battle. You're coming for blood. Okay, that's an important point. You're not just coming there to negotiate. You want blood. L'safsa. To take possession. No one's giving you their territory so quickly. There's going to be a big struggle, and you're ready. You're a professional soldier. You have the state of the art. The biggest expense in this world is the military Department of Defense. How much of the budget of the United States goes to the Department of Defense? A major chunk. In Eretz Yisrael, something like 80-90% of the budget goes to the Department of Defense. Can you imagine that? How much money goes to pay for weapons and for soldiers and for the military. In the United States also, it's an astronomical amount of how much of the budget goes for defense. When Mashiach comes, what's going to happen? The whole economy will come to a standstill because most of the economy in the world is promoted in existence because of spending of money, development and spending of weapons and war. If there's no war, you gotta create a war almost. Oh, very good. That's what swords are turned into plowshares. It keeps the economy going. Okay, what took the United States out of the Depression?
War.
World War II. is what they were spending. He mobilized the country to build planes and tanks and ships. All the conspiracy theorists. Do you believe in conspiracy theories, Mordechai?
Well,
All the conspiracy theorists will tell you that, okay, you know what, a lot of things that go on in this world is all to stimulate the economy. Okay, if you believe that or not, I don't know. But that's what they say. And the theory, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But the theory is built upon this concept that is definitely a true concept, that war stimulates the economy. And here, you're dealing over here, there's a war going on. Yomim Rabim, Lilochim Olecha, Lisafsa. And the Pasuk is telling you, you have in you energy, built up energy of Hashchosa. It's in you. And the Torah here is telling you, it's not just telling you a mitzvah. Lo sevash el gdi b'chalevi mo lo sul b'shanes v'lo sashchis es eitzo ila. The Torah is presenting the mitzvah of Balthashkas in the framework against the backdrop of a story that is would appear to be totally irrelevant to the mitzvah. There's a war, and you're frustrated, and you have a desire to obliterate an enemy, and your blood pressure is over the top in your buildup of wanting to kill, to destroy, and it's not going according to plan. So you know what? Let me have the hana of what I wanted to do. I'll take out my energy on a beautiful orchard of trees. Ah, at least I'll satisfy my desire of hashchasa. Isn't that what's happening over here? And the Torah comes along and says, don't you dare. Don't you dare. This is not why you went to war. You didn't go to war and build yourself up, psych yourself out to destroy things that are blessings to this world. You created weapons of mass destruction. You created regular weapons and you trained to destroy evil. Don't abuse the koyach of what you've created on something that doesn't deserve to be destroyed. That's Balthashkas. The whole concept of Balthashkas is a much greater picture than the way we think about Balthashkas. We start off, what's Balthashkas? Halacha. Halacha, according to Min HaTorah, it is only also to destroy a fruit tree. According to many Rishonim, only a whole tree. If you cut down a branch of a tree, not a problem. Even though other Rishonim disagree. There's an Isser Deraisa cutting down a tree, a fruit tree, and even a branch of a fruit tree. What about destroying utensils? If I take this tissue box, it's a good tissue box, nothing wrong, and I go and I destroy it, am I over on an Isser Deraisa Balthashkas? No. There is no place in the Torah that prohibits me from taking a tissue box or a table or a chair that's perfectly fine, that's usable, people benefit from, and destroying it. There's no Isser Deraisa. It's an Isser Midrabanan. And some say the Isser is only food. There are two different categories of Balthashkas. There are many categories. There's a category of cutting down a tree, an entire tree. Then there's a fruit tree, a fruit-bearing tree. It has to bear edible fruit. A fruit-bearing tree of edible fruit. And then there's a secondary prohibition of cutting down a branch of a tree that produces edible fruit. And then there's a prohibition, midrabanan, of destroying food. Good food, food that is edible for no reason, just for fun. And then there's a prohibition of destroying kalim, utensils that are perfectly functional and are of benefit to society. Those are halachas, plain, simple halacha. But yet, if that's the whole din of Balthashkas, how come the Torah presents it in the middle of a parasha of going to war? What in the world is going on over here? It's unbelievable. You don't need this whole story over here. The answer is, Balthashkas is a much broader concept. The concept of Balthashkas is, in life, a person inevitably, at some point in time, gets frustrated. You have great expectations, you work, you train to achieve a goal. And then It doesn't happen. You don't get what you want. And you're frustrated. And you have all that energy left in you. And it's a very great sign in life to take that energy and burn down the barn. Okay, you have a person, let's talk politics. Person that's campaigning to become the president of the United States for years. You can add any name you want to this. For years and years, everything you do your whole life is you're working to that goal. And finally, you come to that moment, and guess what? You lose the election. You lose. So you're a sore loser. I spent my whole life getting here, and I lost. It was taken away from me. Someone beat me. So it's very, very great nisoyon when you lose after all that to burn down the barn. I lost. After all this, I'll now take all of my contacts, my resources, my political standing, and be mashchis the world. My opponent, the one who beat me, or society, I'm a sore loser. I will just go and vent the rest of my life and burn down the barn. That's human nature. It's really human nature.
Right after that, it says, "Venatan lecha rachamim v'richamcha." V'yiten lecha midat rachamim. Even though you become achzar,
Hashem will give you.
You are still with midat rachamim. V'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'yedecha.
Exactly right. But this, the pasuk is presenting you a nisoyon that every person has in life, in one way or another. Everyone has a nisoyon in life where they have expectations and they invest in what they want, they desire, and it doesn't work out. And you don't get what you want. You lose. You lose. So what do you do when you lose? So you can throw a tantrum. A child wants something. Waiting. He doesn't get what he wants. So what does a child do? He throws a tantrum. He goes crazy. Becomes destructive. Every person is a child at heart. And every person just have bigger toys and bigger expectations in life. And when you don't get what you want, there is a very great nisoyon not to take the energy that you've built up and use it to destroy something that is not meant to be destroyed. That's where the Torah primarily tells you lo sashchis. Lesashchis is a concept in life. Here, the example is battle. Soldiers training for years, practicing. Development of sophisticated weapons, strategy. And now we have a legitimate target that has to be eliminated. These are Rishoyim. They are the enemy. And we go to destroy them. And guess what? They outsmart us. They lock themselves up in a bunker, and we can't attack, and we lay siege for years, and we're thoroughly frustrated after all this, after all of our training, our skill, our investment in technology and weaponry and strategy. What are we going to do now with all of this? You know what? Let's declare a global warming crisis. And we'll use all of our resources to take out society. Okay, I'm just joking, but you understand the idea I'm saying. When you lose, we lost. We can't lose. We gotta just let it out. Flex our muscles one way or another. Here is where the Torah steps in and says, be careful. You started out with very noble intentions. It didn't work out. That's life. Be careful. Lo sashchis. Don't let that energy that you have built up in you, don't let it out on something that doesn't deserve to be destroyed. Be careful. You never went and developed your skills, strategy, and development of resources to destroy the trees. Did you go out? Okay, we're now gonna go lay siege to destroy the forest. Never, you never did it. That wasn't the goal, that wasn't the intent. So why now are you destroying the forest? Because you're frustrated. Control yourself. Good. That is the Iker Lo Sashchis. It's a midah in life. It's not just a halacha, don't chop down a cherry tree. Don't chop down a branch. Don't destroy good food. Don't destroy objects which are beneficial to society. It's a midah in life. When you're frustrated, you didn't get what you want, and that energy is present, be very careful. You're very vulnerable now. You're a loose cannon. Every person is like Mayor. A loose cannon is about to say Yiskadal. Be careful when you press the button. This is the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis.
Amen.